of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, let us extend our thoughts and union as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with the concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan beyond the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequences of the shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people's servant, not they ours. Let us proceed in peace. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to call this morning's, it is loud today, isn't it? This morning's adjourned September meeting for March 19th at 9 a.m. to order with a roll call, please.
Ms. Hussage?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
She will not be here.
Mr. Giles?
He will not be here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
I am here and will be here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of February 19th, 2019? Or else we have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Motion by Gilmore.
Second.
Seconded by Vickers. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All ayes. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hendricks. Seconded by Gilmore. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All ayes. Thank you. Now, first up today, we have special recognition for a few of our distinguished friends. First off, I'd like to, is the sheriff here today too? I'd like to ask you to come up, and Sabrina Jennings as well. Sabrina began work with the Kendall County Sheriff's Office in 1991 and graduated from the Cook County Corrections Academy in Chicago on December 3rd, 1991. Commander Jennings began working at the historic Kendall County Jail in Yorkville, which housed 14 inmates. Her work, and I don't know if Member Purcell was one of them, but that was a rumor. Her work included collaboration on the transition from the historic jail to the current Kendall County Public Safety Center in 1992, where she worked as a correction deputy until approximately 1995. She was then assigned to work on the new courthouse security transition team. On October 4th, 1997, Jennings was promoted to sergeant and continued to work at the courthouse until her transfer back to the jail in 1998. On June 6, 2003, she was promoted to corrections commander. Commander Jennings began development work of the jail south pod expansion in 2003, which included the creation of the 203-bed detention facility in 2005. Commander Sabrina Jennings, a 28-year veteran of the Kendall County Sheriff's Office, holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from Benedictine University, is a graduate of Northwestern University Center for Public Safety School of Police Staff and Command, as well as the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board Executive Institute Executive Development Program, Police Executive Role in the 21st Century. Commander Jennings worked with staff to achieve the Prison Rape Elimination Act, PREA, compliance in 2015 and the American Correctional Association accreditation in 2018. Commander Jennings has assisted on many projects with the Sheriff's Office as well as within the community, and as you can tell, from what I just mentioned, she has her fingerprints all over, particularly the Public Safety Center, and has been a huge help to the Sheriff's Office over the last 28 years. So thank you for your 28 years of service and dedication to the people of Kendall County. And I do have a plaque and a vase that I'd like to present to you. And Sheriff, I don't know if you had anything you wanted to add to that.
Sure. Sabrina and I have known each other a very long time. In fact, sixth grade is when we went to high school together and junior high. And when I was working at the sheriff's office over here at the historical jail or whatever it's called now, I walked in and I saw Sabrina there, and I'm like, wow. And we actually were talking about that on last Friday. Sabrina is the last person that's working in the sheriff's office besides myself that actually worked in the old jail. And I can tell you that Sabrina was also a part of a lot of changes in the early 2000s and the mid-2000s when it had to do with jail standards and stuff like that. As far as we can tell, she's the longest serving jail commander that Kendall County has ever had. Wow. In that role. So it's quite an accomplishment to deal with a lot of grievances and a lot of issues over the years, going from a 14-bed facility to a 203-bed facility. You're absolutely right. Her fingerprint is on a lot, and I was able to rely on her during my first term, and I wish her the absolute best in her retirement. And I think she had a shirt on Friday that said something like, "It's not my problem anymore." So it was nice. Sabrina, would you like to say anything?
I just want to say thank you to the board and everybody at the sheriff's office and in the county who supported me in everything that I did. It's been a long run. It's been a good run. We've had our trials. We've had our tribulations. And there's nothing that I regret. If I could do it over again, I would. I may change a couple things here and there so that, you know, there's less waves in the ocean. But I want to thank everybody for giving me the opportunity to do what I did for the last 28 years. I loved it. I enjoyed it. But now it's time to sit back and take a break. And like the sheriff said, it's not my problem anymore. But if my phone rings, I will be more than happy to answer it for anybody. So thank you.
She's very dedicated, and she really did say that to us. And I'm sure that we will call upon her. I do know that hopefully we'll get her when she doesn't have a paintbrush in her hand because she paints pottery, because I asked her how she kept her blood pressure down, and she shared that with me. So me, I take the pill. She does the pottery. So
we may need a class.
Thank you
on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Next, I'd like to ask Dave Reedy, would you come on up? Dan Reedy was the Kendall County Farm Bureau manager for many years. He's the son of Tom and Wilma of Lovington, Illinois, and was raised in a farm in central Illinois. He was involved in the FFA in high school and attended Illinois State University. Upon completion at ISU, Dan met and married the love of his life, Fidel, and Dan taught school for a bit, moved up north, in quotes, when he accepted the position of manager at the Kendall County Farm Bureau in 1981. He settled in Sandwich with his family of four and has remained manager for the last 37 and a half years. For a few years, Dan added real estate agent to his resume as well. Is that no longer?
No, that's correct.
Dan has been a part of the Board of Health in Kendall County and worked with the drainage committees and has supported local farm issues and concerns as a manager. He is well known throughout the county and has balanced a full-time career and family life. Dan is the 17th and final manager for the Kendall County Farm Bureau as we bid farewell to both Dan and the Kendall County Farm Bureau here in our county. The Kendall Grundy Farm Bureau began on March 1st, 2019 in the Morris office, and the Kendall County Farm Bureau building in Yorkville closed its doors on February 28th, 2019. One thing that I recently learned was that the Farm Bureau would be the 100th anniversary.
That's
of
correct.
The Farm Bureau in Kendall County, and it originally had an office in the old courthouse across the...
When we first started, correct.
Yeah. During his retirement, Dan plans to substitute teach in local schools, and I think you mentioned that your grand...
I have a grandson that will be a freshman in high school next year.
Yeah, he's not necessarily buying that.
Yes.
And then you plan to spend more time with your grandchildren as well, and... I know that that I actually have a note here, and there may be some others that want to say something, but I received a note from former board member, state representative, and Forest Preserve President Kay Hatcher, and I'd like to read a little bit about this. She wanted to express her thoughts on your impact in Kendall County. And as zoning chair, which she was the chairman of the PBZ committee, she had an opportunity to work closely with Dan while bringing together various leaders throughout Kendall County to update the land use management plan. Saturday mornings were packed in our boardroom as various experts suggested why or why not we should take a certain direction. Growth was the beginning to touch us, and there were many issues we'd never confronted before. Out of that process came what I believe was the most important decision our county board would ever take to safeguard our quality of life. Led by Dan and the Farm Bureau board members, we instituted right to farm clause and development proposals. And many of you who are on the PBZ or have seen our various ordinance come out are aware of this right to farm language. Quite simply, if you build next to a farm, those actions normally associated with farming are permitted. Whether it is a tractor running at midnight or animal activity, none of us except Dan and his farm team truly imagine the pressures our landowners would experience in the new century. I shudder to think what would have happened if that buffer had not been created. And we've seen this come up time and again. As Kendall County became more and more attractive to new residents for its open space, Dan worked diligently to educate the public about farm ownership. It was hard for some to understand that farming was the livelihood of generations, not just part of a scenic roadway drive. That education led to the public understanding that if they valued open space, they would need to take responsibility for that preservation. Out of that evolutionary process, the Forest Preserve support grew. Dan did an incredible job of helping both sides of the issue find common ground. Dan also understood that farming was evolving, using more science and technology. He encouraged the next generation of young farm men and women to communicate and learn from each other at a pivotal time when many farms across the state were shrinking. Dan was by my side once again when I served in the legislature. A clear, honest voice for agriculture, he educated me on the unintended consequences of how a seemingly benign piece of legislation could devastate a livestock operation. He helped me find the important balance needed to fairly represent both the rural and urban residents of the Fox Valley. Dan is not someone who's ever sought the spotlight, a rare distinction in today's world. It makes it all the more important that he's honored publicly today. Congratulations, Dan, and that's from
Dave. Thank you very much.
And if I recall correctly, didn't you had a story, I don't know if it was a public story or not, but about you and Kay working together to
For the Fair Association, yes.
Yeah.
Actually, years ago, when I first came to Kendall County in 1981, there had been discussion about having a county fair. There were only two counties in the state of Illinois that did not have a county fair, and that was Kendall and Cook. And so as time went along, I believe right before I came that there had been an offer of a fairgrounds from Doc Koch over on 34 where the old strip was. And I believe that was turned down for whatever reason it was. And so we still wanted to have a place that we could call our own as far as a 4-H and open show that our 4-H kids, for the first several years that I was here, we had our 4-H fair over in Sandwich at the fairgrounds there. The Farm Bureau would pay the rent for that facility for a couple day event. And then after that, we moved down to Morris and we paid the rent for that opportunity down there. And so it just evolved that we wanted to have our own place. And so actually Kay, and I believe that, I was trying to think who else did that. It was on the board also at that time, lived over in Oswego on the river.
John Church.
No, not John.
Dick Young, wasn't
it? Dick Young, yes. And we started talking about how we would go about or where we would have that possibility. And the possibility came up of using Harris Forest Preserve as a possibility, as a fairgrounds. We then visited Elburn Days up in, I met Kay up there. And Elburn, for their Elburn Days, they use the pavilion for the livestock area. Clean it out afterwards, and then they have a sale and so forth and so on, just to see what it would be like. Well, we talked about that, but then the Harris Forest Preserve wasn't going to work quite as well as we thought. The unit up there had a concrete floor and so forth and so on. So in a roundabout way, through Kay's effort and those other board members at that time, we had to jump through a lot of hoops simply because at that time, parimutuel betting was the source of all the a lot of the premiums that were there. Well, that had to be, you had to be an amendment to that to that specific bill. And of course, then at that time is when the county board offered the 25-acre farm to the west of Harris. Well, of course, state law will not allow you to sell forest preserve property after it's been purchased. So that was another change that had to be done to the state law, if you will. So when we did get the money, that was actually, we had a lot of help from Tom. Through the state legislature, we got a $200,000 grant, which we were able to purchase the forest preserve property down by Newark, and took a simple trade. You could do that. And then it was took another bill to get into the parimutuel bedding, and then it also took another round of help to get into what we call the money that has helped to maintain the fairgrounds also. So it was a big process, but I think a very worthwhile process. And of course, our first fair here in Kendall County was in 1992 out of the present. And of course, we through the generosity of many of the people here in Kendall County, the majority of our buildings out at the fairgrounds have been donated through those generous funds. And the improvements have been made on those ever since also. So we've been very fortunate here in Kendall County to have a group of wonderful people and donors who have come to our cause to help us get to that point of having the 4-H fairgrounds and a successful fair. And of course, that is an organization all in itself now. The Kendall County Fair Association has been going, like I said, for 25 years. Mike Durndal has been the chairman for 25 years plus. And so they've done a fantastic job of maintaining and improving the fair on a day-to-day basis or year-to-year basis, and have expanded what they do there also.
Mr. Kellogg.
I'd like to say a couple things. Kay's letter covered about half the stuff that I'd written down or thought about last night, so I won't repeat those. I think it says a lot. We had an event the Farm Bureau did on Saturday out at Schobert's Farm, and there was 400-plus people showed up to just say hello or goodbye or give you a hug and those things. I think that says a lot about what you meant to the community or still do, and I know you're not disappearing or you're still going to be at events, but that really showed a lot to have that many people take time out to come and see you and congratulate you. Personally, I can't remember a time you weren't at the fair or at Farm Bureau events or picnics. Really appreciate that. And it's a little bit your fault that I'm here, because I stopped in while I was trying to figure out if I was pulling petitions to do this and talk to you about, can I deal with the people that are there?
he lied.
He gave me some words of advice about be patient, and this is how some of the process works. But Dan was one of the people that I went and talked to before I decided for sure to do this. So I just thank you personally and on behalf of the community. So thank you.
Thank you very much. It has been my pleasure to work with the county board. I think it's important that the Farm Bureau organization works with the county board, because you have the most impact on what happens out there in rural Kendall County. I've had a very good group of young people and leaders to work with it here in the county, both in Farm Bureau and outside of Farm Bureau, and it's been my pleasure to serve the community of Kendall County for the last almost 38 years. So thank you.
Thank you.
This says thank you for 37 and a half years of service and dedication to Kendall County, Illinois, May 1st, 1981 to February 28,
2019. Very much. Thank you. And then finally, I don't believe that Mr. Wormley is able to make it. Oh, Seth. If you want to come on up. And wanted to say a few words about Bud Wormley, who recently resigned from the Kendall County Plan Commission. Bud Wormley is a fifth-generation Kendall County resident with careers in agriculture, real estate, and insurance. Bud graduated from Oswego High School in 1966 and the University of Illinois with a degree in agricultural economics in 1971. Bud joined his father at Wormley Real Estate in 1971 and has been an active broker in Kendall County for over 48 years. He was appointed to the Regional Plan Commission on January 5th, 2010, where he was appointed to vice chair in 2013, and he served in that capacity until he resigned here recently in January of this year. Bud currently serves as a member of the Millbrook Village Board, has been an active volunteer for 15-plus years with the Kendall County Meals on Wheels, served as a board member of the Regional American Cancer Society, was a former elder of the Oswego Presbyterian Church, and is currently a member of the Millbrook Methodist Church. I think it's safe to say that that Bud has left his mark on Kendall County as well. He's somebody that you'd run into. This is a few things, but you'd run into him just about at any major event that has occurred in the county. Today, we thank and honor Bud for his dedication and commitment to Kendall County in these various capacities, and specifically for his service to Kendall County through the Regional Plan Commission. And I don't know, Matt, did you have anything to add?
It's just another great example from the Oswego area of, you know, families that have been involved. You know, we talked about Peaches, and Ormley family is right up there with community involvement, school events. You know, I used to sit behind your grandpa at football games, and it was always an interesting experience.
Yeah, sorry for that.
So, I mean, the family's always involved, and now the next generation will have an opportunity to.
Yeah, I know he would. He'd love to be here today. He's thankful for this recognition. He's fighting a tough fight, and I just wanted to represent him here today. So, thank you very much.
Well, appreciate you coming out. And Judy, I know you. I think went to school.
Seth, I've known your dad all my life. Excuse me, and high school together, and you know, a lot of good times in the past. And you know, I want to really thank him for all the service to the county and the regional plan and. Board, so just give him our best.
I sure will.
Yeah,
thank
he's
you.
I've got a plaque for him. I'll give you as well. And on the plaque it says it thanks Bud for his 9 years of service and dedication to Kendall County from January 5th, 2010 to January 30th,
2019.
So with that, we do have some refreshments upstairs, and we'd like to just take a minute to so you can just thank everybody, Dan, and if you'll stick around for a little bit, and Sabrina, if you'll stick around as well, and then we'll take probably a 10-minute break or so. So thank you.
Just the hairpiece.
Just the hairpiece, that's right.
There it is, Mr. Shaw.
This meeting back to order, approximately 9:43 a.m. Citizens to be heard. Executive session, we do have a need, but we'll wait until the end. Old business, new business. We have a motion to approve Chicago HIDA Research Deconfliction Analyst Service Contract with Kendall County as a fiduciary agent effective April 1, 2019 through March 31st, 2020 in the amount of $75,000. Motion by Purcell, seconded by Prochaska. Any discussion on this? Roll call.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Thank you. All ayes. May I have a motion to approve HIDA agreement with the University of Chicago with Kendall County as the fiduciary agent? Effective May 1, 2019 through April 30th, 2020, and the amount of $85,000.
So moved.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Purcell. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Yes. All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve Tyler Technologies License and Services Agreement from Sourcewell Contract Numbered 110515 TTI for Public Sector ERP and Financial Software in an amount not to exceed $415,500.
So moved.
Motion by Gilmore.
Second.
Seconded by Purcell. Any discussion? Mr. Purcell.
So can we just rehash real quickly? What is the timeline on this expected to be?
Mr. Keppel? Or
I'll let Matt Kinsey answer that. He and Jill have been the lead on this one.
Matt Kinsey, Technology Services. The timeline from the day we sign it today, we'll contact our actual vendor, the vendor with the signed information. It estimates anywhere between 6 months to get the financials done because they have to run a lot of background data and start with the conversions. So it could take 6 months to a year to complete, which is a typical timeline.
Okay. And then what about the, when do we pay the full amount?
The full amount, so upon signature, 50% of the investment summary is due. And then when services are completed, the other 50% is due at that time.
So when will they start?
Probably, my best guess is around April. Because they have to start doing flights and getting individuals over. We have to get in touch with some members.
Jill's making a lot of faces in the
back. I'm sorry to do that.
It's a very busy month in our office.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tax
bills.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to overburden them because they will be the first individuals hit with it, along with Julie and Debbie for accounts payable, accounts receivable.
And you're thinking 6 to 12 months?
Then? 6 to 12 months. This last week we went through, and they went through a more detailed process.
Next fiscal year.
Yes, we'll pay half this year and then the other half going into next year.
You want to get a better picture there with that green light?
Ms. Henderson?
Oh, gosh. Did we ever do a comparison to outsourcing this?
As far as, like, from an actual vendor to, like to a different company or to an actual, like, as a service?
To actually outsource it as a service, a payroll service. I just want to know, did we get numbers and compare them? To outsource payroll? Mm-hmm. That is something I've never looked into.
Yeah. I looked at other vendors as far as that goes as a different software to see the capabilities, not as an actual service.
And then what's the cost of ownership on this year over here? Because now we're maintaining a server, we have to do software license updates, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm concerned about the overall cost.
The overall costs are actually diminished because right now we have a multitude of different applications. We have Gradients and a bunch of other softwares that we're maintaining all throughout the county. We'll centralize this in one location. Just alone, the annual cost, I think, is $15,000. Don't quote me on that one. That Ms. Ferko.
For our contract that we have now, just what I pay out of my budget, not what Debbie pays
for
out
the software
of
hers,
it's $15,000.
And is that a server that's maintained?
Hey, Jill, can
a
I
server that's maintained here as well.
Sorry.
It's maintained here. So what we're going to do is we're going to diminish about 6 to 7 programs. From Kronos that the Sheriff's Department uses, and all these annual costs that we have, and combine them all down, and the actual cost on the investment summaries, I think it's below $11,000.
And what is their cost to keep the software? Like, do we have a contract with them for software and hardware maintenance and updates?
Yeah, so it's covered in there, an annual cost. They do all of, we facilitate the actual network, which is Houseline, but they do all the server updates and all that stuff is done beforehand. We work pretty extensively with Tyler right now.
So what is the annual cost of that?
It's in the annual investment summary, which is an investment summary on the very last page, $10,638.
And so what's our return on investment for this?
I have to look at it. I got the paperwork in my office. I can get back to you. It's to facilitate, like right now, just to say she's paying $15,000. We pay around $4,000 for Gradients. The Sheriff's Office also has another cost.
I'm familiar. It's a lot of different disparate parts trying to work together. It's difficult.
Yeah, we're just condensing down to one centralized program. We're also adding on some additions and some discrepancies that were in the audit are going to be fixed with this. So a lot of pluses.
Mr. Purcell.
And this would come from Fund 040. Is that the number I'm having, Jill?
That's where it's currently budgeted, yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Hendricks. But we've never run a comparison to how much it would cost to outsource it? Because this is a lot
more. Well, this is, but you're just talking payroll. This is covering a lot more than just payroll. So payroll is only one part of it.
Does budgeting?
Budgeting and then the whole accounts receivable, accounts payable. It's pretty much
So every, it's the software for your entire department?
Yes.
The entire department, and including
also,
a time clock.
Up, from this too.
It's an office selection.
Yes, adding a time clock solution as well to facilitate a process, and we're also adding a recruiting portion where instead of each individual department having to push out different applications and receive my email, it'll actually have a centralized location so we can go through a formal, more formal process of vetting individuals, and all the information is contained centralized.
But that will be handled by administration?
That will be handled by administration, but it's still covered underneath the same program.
So this program is going to touch several, many, many departments.
That is correct.
Yes. Mr. Purcell?
I believe the sheriff said it'll allow him to save some staff time as well.
Yeah, as well.
Well, that's kind of why I was looking for the return on investment, so we can tell the public how it's
When you ask that question, you know, the first thing to my mind is like, right now, I really don't know. You know, for you to say what is going to be, in my opinion, it's going, you know, it's a good thing. And I don't really know if we can put a dollar amount on that yet, because it is going to eliminate a lot of processes and bring them all together. So it's, you know, until we are really up and running and seeing how everything goes, it's hard to put a dollar amount on that at
right.
this time.
What's the response time on the repair contract?
It's within the, one business day, 24 hours. Usually, one business day. Usually with Tyler, it's a contact. We'll initiate a contact in 24 hours a day, and they'll get back to us immediate. We also included a disaster recovery. So if we ever lose power or something disastrous happens where we're not able to facilitate it here, they can manage on the back end for 2 weeks.
So we have an off-site backup?
We have an off-site backup for a true disaster recovery.
And are they going to supply us with new equipment? Should we have an absolutely devastating emergency, like the equipment is lost?
The equipment loss, that is not covered as far as that goes. That's just housing all the...
Some policies do, some extreme disaster recovery
yeah.
plans do.
Yeah, but the it's just to facilitate if the data they've already converted.
Say that again.
It's just to facilitate any of the data they've already converted, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. So we offload our image off to their sites, and then they can run the county services off site until we reestablish.
So in the event of a disaster, we would run our services in the cloud.
In a cloud based, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Purcell.
Yeah, I'll pass it.
Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussex?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Thank you. All ayes. May I have a motion to approve an amendment to the ordinance regulating the retail sale of alcoholic liquors outside the corporate limits of any city, village, or incorporated town in Kendall County, Illinois?
So moved.
Motion by Gilmore.
Second.
Seconded by Sussex. Scott, do you want to talk about the changes here?
Yeah, this is a relatively small change. It was a request made by the fairgrounds, the Kendall County Fairgrounds. Currently, they are the only holder of a Class J license. And in that Class J license, they're restricted to only serving beer and wine. We've changed it from beer and wine to all kinds of legalized alcohol in this possible change to the ordinance. That is the only change.
Legalized alcohol, right?
Yes.
Any questions?
So does this change the number of events they can do in a year?
It does not. It just changes the what they can what they're allowed to serve.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussex?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. 7-1. Motion carries. Thank you. Elected officials report and other department reports. Sheriff. Make sure that's turned on now.
Good morning. A couple things I wanted to acknowledge. Mike from CATS has donated a vehicle to us that would allow us to transport prisoners with that are handicapped. We've had some struggles in the past, and this was a van that they were circulating out of their use, and we felt that it could be a good use for us. We looked at it, the maintenance record on it, and it seemed well, so that's going to allow us to to more easily transport the inmates with handicap stuff. So I want to thank Mike and his staff for that. Next, the Sheriff's Office is going to start this summer an Explorer Camp for kids, 8th grade going into freshmen, and then your 9th, 10th, and 11th graders. We're going to have an announcement come out this Friday, March 22nd, and we hope to be able to accommodate 25 to 30 kids throughout the county. It's going to start on January 11th. There is an orientation of the expectations of the program on May 9th, and then hopefully the kids that we've selected for it and they pass the background check will be able to participate in it and meet the attendance obligations that we'll have. It's a 7-week course, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. with a graduation that occurs on August 1st.
When did you say it would start?
June 11th.
June 11th, thank you.
And most of this is going to be paid for by a grant that we have. And then we're also taking some private donations. So we're going to try and fund it that way. It will not require any adjustment to my budget. And with that being said, if there's any questions that you may have on that, I'd be more than happy to take them at this time. Is yes?
Can you just give us an outline of what you're going to be doing?
Basically, it has to do with anything with the public safety. We have other municipalities coming in. The kids are going to go through scenarios. They're going to go through some classroom instruction. We're partnering with the fire department. All the kids that participate in this will receive their CPR card, as well as some general first aid. It is no cost to them. There will be also some physical training in the morning. They're going to do what we have to do as police officers, take the power test in the beginning, and then there'll be days where they'll have physical training during the day as part of their daily activity. And then at the end, we'll also measure if they've made any advancements in their physical fitness ability. So we're kind of excited about it. It's the first time. I know the probation department is helping us out as well, Kendall County Probation. They're going to donate a staff member one day a week for 4 hours to try and to help with that instructional time. We hope to have a male and a female supervisor there at all times because it is for both girls and boys. So, yes,
Vickers. Similar to the Oswego Explorers Post?
Well, we have an Explorers Post, and this we're calling this a summer Explorer Camp, and Oswego has a summer camp, and those are a week long, and this is going to be 7 weeks long, and the one in Oswego is Monday through Friday. This is going to be Tuesday through Thursday, and we are taking off the week of the 4th of July to try and accommodate people. And we also didn't want to meet on Mondays and Fridays throughout the summer because we realize that families take their family vacations at that time. So the attendance, they can only miss 12 hours of instruction, which is 1 week, in order to graduate. We'll let you the graduation is going to be August 1st. It's going to be out at Whitetail, and we will invite the board if they would like to attend.
Sounds great. Thanks, Sheriff.
And one other thing, I did want to make a brief announcement. I know there was some publicity involving Sergeant Bunting and speeding. He was arrested for speeding. We put out a press release today. Our administrative interview is done. And we talked with them about transparency with the union, and they were very in support of that. It's my understanding through the court system, which I had nothing to do with, he received what any other individual would have received if they would have been charged with that same offense. And as far as the administrative interview, he will be docked 1 week of pay for his conduct. So we put that out. We worked with the union. We wanted to be transparent as possible since it did involve a public arrest. So, does anybody have any questions? I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. County Clerk.
My revenue report is in the packet. We began early voting in Oswego and Plano yesterday, and we will continue early voting here. So, getting ready for the election, which is 2 weeks away.
Thanks, Judy.
Any questions? I'd be more than happy to answer.
Question for the clerk. Ms. Vickers.
How's turnout?
Not great.
Typical?
Typical.
Okay. Treasurer.
Good morning. You do have my report in your packet as well. I don't know if there are any questions.
Any questions for the treasurer?
No. Yes? No? So thank you.
She really is debating you to hit
that. I know. Surprise. Thank you for supporting that contract. I think it is going to be a breath of fresh air in our office and probably with Debbie's office as well. It's been a struggle the last couple of years keeping on top of certain requirements, and this software is hopefully going to bring us up to date and get us back on track with all the stuff that we need to be doing. So
it's really an important step in the modernization, I think.
It is. I mean, it is just, I think it's, you know, not only is it going to help us, but I think it's going to be a benefit for the employees. You know, they're going to be able to pull up their W-2s when they need it. They're going to be able to, you know, get, you know, they're going to have a portal so they can log in and check their stuff. So it's going to be very hands-on. And I think, like I said, it's going to, you know, be beneficial for everyone. So with that being said, obviously April is going to be a very busy month in our office. We will be getting out tax bills as well as beginning the conversion, and also trying to stay on top of the new GATA requirements. So we are trying to, you know, get a whole bunch of things organized, and so we will be busy, but hopefully a year from now things will slow down and we'll be back on track. So
Ms. Purcell, you gave him enough time to
darn it.
You did. Jill, please help me remember the February sales tax that we would have collected. Would that have been from November or December?
February should be December, usually two months.
Okay. Thank you.
And we did receive our accelerated payment in March, so that will be reflective on next month's report. So next month it'll be a little bit
bumped up.
So we did receive that last week. So
do they do that one once a year?
Yeah, once a year. They do the accelerated payment.
I like that. Is that how they keep up?
I don't know. That's what that's how it comes across as the accelerated payment. So we did receive that last week, so that will be reflected in next month's report.
I have a question, but it might be more for the sheriff. I noticed the federal inmate revenue is down from last year.
Well, I can. That was an that was a question that came up, but when they had the shutdown, we were not receiving payments, so there is kind of a lag in that. Unless you know of something else, but that was kind of what because the auditors were asking that same question because we hadn't gotten anything in January. So when we checked on that, they said it was because of the shutdown they were not processing payments. So
that is correct. Actually, we are forecasted to be up this year.
Okay.
We're on track to be considerably higher.
So at some point, we'll probably have a larger bump than expected as it catches up.
We should.
Yeah.
They pay their bills.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Okay. Mr. Purcell.
And then since we have opened up the can of worms here, the state income tax, is that a missed payment? I see.
Thanks,
we're
sure.
Down substantially.
You know, I got to thinking about that as well, but I do recall, I think any time there's a changeover with governors, I think, again, there is that little bit of a lag that comes through with getting things switched over and whatnot. So.
And they haven't passed the progressive income tax yet, so I could be wrong.
Yeah. Who knows?
Did I say that out loud?
Thank you. Clerk of the court. No, Robin. State's attorney.
Real quick before John has time to think.
You've learned.
Too late.
Our office will be open on election day from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. If there are any questions, just call the main number. If there's any issues with election stuff, we will have ASAs on staff throughout that whole time.
What's the main number?
630-553-4157.
Will somebody be answering the phone, though? Okay.
You can call.
That's the point. Call and I'll leave a message.
We'll get back to you in 24
Unless
hours.
Unless you call John, and then we're going to stream the call. We'll go to voicemail.
Not fast enough,
just,
Eric.
Just hang on until we get to you. Second, we will be doing, probably in the fall, our biannual Open Meetings Act training. Once the township and municipality elections are done, new members will be sworn in, and we usually do the training sometime in the fall, so expect that. I'm hoping with the new AG will be as open to doing that training as Ms. Bannigan did, so I'm assuming it will be the same, but we'll find out. And also, Leslie will be presenting an HR training, kind of going in line with Jill's request to get the actual software that is needed. One of the things that happens because we have different software throughout the county is sometimes we have some mistakes that are being made with HR and labor issues. We're going to do a brief presentation. Well, Leslie's going to do a brief presentation. I'm not doing any presentation. About some of the mistakes that are made and simple things to do to correct those before they occur. So that will be on April 29th from 1 to 2 at the jury assembly room at the courthouse for the supervisors. Other than that, we've been busy.
Any questions?
Questions for everyone but John?
Coroner, thanks, Eric.
She says the same thing. Questions for anyone we do?
The coroner?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, my report should be in your packet. In the month of February, we had 31 total deaths. Out of those, we had, in the box chart there, it shows 27 natural deaths and 3 pending. But one of those pending deaths actually came back as natural. The other one, after inquest, came back as suicide. And the other one is still pending. So, homicidal deaths, none. Toxicology, we had 4 cases that we had to do toxicology on, including 4 autopsies, and we authorized 17 cremations, responded to 7 different scenes, transported 5 different bodies to the office, and did only external examinations on 3 of those. We provided a morgue tour to the Aurora University Criminal Justice class, and there were 20 attendees that came for that. On February 6th, we facilitated the Lights of Hope support group for family and friends who've been impacted by overdose-related deaths. On February 13th, I provided an open-to-the-public morgue tour, and there were 13 attendees, only one of which passed out. February 20th, we provided a presentation for Operation Impact at Oswego High School. On the 21st, we met with the King County Sheriff's Office to discuss the dynamics of the A Way Out program. And then on March 1st, we did hold the inquest for the in-custody death that happened over at the Kendall County Jail. And our expenses are listed and a little bit of revenue, and that is it.
I don't think we got your report. Would you mind emailing that?
Oh, yeah. It's not in the packet?
No.
No, okay.
And then you can just send it around to us afterwards if you don't mind.
Sure.
Awesome. Any questions? Mr. Purcell? Ms. Purcell? I can see the icy glare there.
Maybe I should not ask. Probably should. Didn't you start a program recently?
For?
Are you advising against this?
For the insulin program, it kind of started in the beginning of March. So we're working with an agency called Insulin for Life. So what happens is a lot of times when we go on a death scene, we bring back all of their medications and whatnot for proper disposal. But we often have a lot of diabetic supplies and insulin and things like that, which obviously cost thousands and thousands of dollars that we just throw away because there's nothing else. And I've looked and I've asked them, is there anything we can do this? And we have unopened insulin. We have unopened, you know, medications, needles, meters, all these different things. And pretty much in the United States, you can't reuse those. But there is a company that works with 16 different developing countries, like third world nations, that can use them, so we donate them now to those countries, and they are actually able to use them domestically in emergency situations, so like Katrina and whatnot, when people are displaced from their homes in an emergency, they can use them domestically. But other than that, we've had a lot of donations already come in just in the first couple of weeks that we did it, and in fact, day one we had, I think, 12 or 13 meters brought in, you know what I mean? Like, so a lot of stuff. And in fact, we're ready to make our first shipment already down there. So It's been a very well-received program, and hopefully it continues.
Good. Thank you. All right.
Thanks. Thank you.
Health Department. Well.
Passed out our spring newsletter, and there's a few items to look at in here. The one that I want to draw your attention to is on the second page, our scholarship program. This is an annual program that we have for families in the community that have a difficult time just affording the higher education for young people. These are modest scholarships from $500 to $1,500 a person, but we also wrap many other services around that family. We have a scholarship dinner, and it's really a way of focusing on families that either are not able to send a young person to school easily, or we also have families where individuals had started their education, went and had their family, never finished their education, really want to finish their education. So something very positive and a jump start for people earning a reasonable median income. I also want to answer one question that came out of Health and Environment two meetings ago that I had intended to answer yesterday. We were talking about emergent well-being issues in the United States, one of them being measles. And Chairperson Gilmore had asked me about the German measles. That's a great question because a lot of people get that confused with the measles. The German measles is actually not the measles. It's a much less dangerous sickness. And the measles, when we're talking about outbreak in Illinois is a hotbed in the country this year. Measles is something that's very different and is a dangerous disease. Are there any questions about this newsletter? Okay, thank you so much.
Supervisor of Assessments, Mr. Nicoletti.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So in front of you, you should have two sheets that I passed out. One is called Assessment Ratios Adjusted for Changes. Cover that one first. This is the tentative equalization factors that each one of the townships would be getting if they did no reassessing, just turn their books in. So basically, in order to not receive a factor from the county, they have to raise their assessments by the percentages. So like Big Grove needs to bring their total EAV up by 1.8, Bristol's 5.37, so on and so forth. So the county as a total, the EAV will increase just under 5%, 4.91%, and that is based on the three-year average. So the sales ratio studies from 16, 17, and 18.
Questions for Andy? Mr. Purcell?
Of course. Well, I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I'll wait.
No. Okay. I wanted to cover one at a time.
That's fine.
So, okay. So then the other one is on my letterhead, and it's an estimate of where I think the EAV will be when all is said and done for 2019. So the final EAV for 18 is the 3.514 number. You subtract out the farmland and the farm building from that because they are not subject to equalization. So that gives you what the total non-farm was for 2018. Multiplying that by the projected factor of 4.91, excuse me, gives you the 3.609 number. Then to that you add in the farm buildings and the farmland with the projected increase for 2019. I'm guessing it's about 6%. That's what it's been for the last couple of years. Estimating new construction a little over $41 million. Last year, I think we had just over $40 million for 18. And then, of course, reductions that may come from the board review through appeals to them. So the total is 3.715 divided by the 2018 is roughly 5.7% increase from the 18 to 19. Just to give you an idea, the highest EAV we had in 2009 was 3.615. So we're actually, it's taken us 10 years to get back to where we were before the bottom fell out. So
you're saying we're there?
Yes, we are back.
We're back.
10 years, so.
All right. Well, that's kind of a theme for today, I think, for a couple of things. Mr. Purcell.
So back to your letterhead page.
Yes.
The 4.91%, so that is the average increase in assessment?
Yes, basically, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Across the whole county. You know,
yes, that's correct.
Like 10, this might be zero.
Right, and that's why I provided the other sheet, because it will vary by township, and within the township, it's going to vary by your neighborhood or subdivision, because the assessor does the same thing I do at their level to determine which areas need to come up or stay the same or whatever.
And
so.
Then, you may have mentioned it, but I might have been reading this and not very safe. Do you know what the CPI number is for that we'll be able to apply?
Both numbers were the same for the last 2 years. I believe they were the same.
2.1 or
I think it was, 2.1.
So that would be the same number that would be applied for next year, if the board so chooses to take
I believe that is correct.
I feel a little spoiler.
If we decide not to raise taxes,
yeah, that's exactly. I'm getting glare at something. That would be a bad idea, not to raise taxes. Oh, now it's going back. So then the other thing is, I was just noting your estimated new construction.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty on the dot estimate, $41,401,494.
Yeah, why not 95 or 93?
Because I take an average of the last few years, and that's where it comes up at.
Perfect, okay.
And add a little factor to it.
Do you know?
That's right.
That's right. The economy was rolling along 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Do you remember, when did you start?
2009.
So, you were
so I couldn't really answer a question from 12 years ago.
But you might have a history.
But I would have a history on it that I could provide to you.
I'm just curious, what was the new construction in those peak years?
Over $100 million a year,
yeah,
I believe.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was substantially higher than this.
Yeah.
So things are coming up. It's nothing.
I don't think we're going to get back to $100 million a year. It would be nice to think that. Perhaps if a couple of shopping centers were to be filled in, that would probably help things a lot. So
I'm waiting for Route 47 to be widened. That'll bring in the commercial and industrial.
I thought.
I think Elderman Road.
Elderman Road and Collins Road. I think all three of those will bring in.
They will help tremendously.
Please don't jinx new construction like that.
You didn't jinx it.
I didn't jinx it. I just suggested that perhaps if we were to see, say, the Kendall Marketplace be filled in, that would be helpful.
Route 34 getting done would help that probably. Too.
Right. So, just saying.
It's gonna get worse. So, Andy, I've missed this before on changes in people's titles. So, this has probably been like this for years. But have you always been Chief County Assessing Official?
Yes. It's both.
Should we have that on our officials report?
It doesn't matter. It's the same position.
Okay.
So supervisor and chief.
He's got chief county assessing official in like 18-point font, so I'm guessing that you would prefer I have that on there.
It doesn't matter. Or if you want, you can abbreviate CCAO. It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
So
I answer to most.
Chow, CCAO.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, it's CIAO.
Yeah.
Which is what my designation is, and ironically is also goodbye in Italian.
Ciao.
Just saying.
Ciao. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, just a fun fact. Just a fun fact. So.
Thank you. Standing committee reports before we devolve further.
Jim, are you giving a report next?
All right, Jim Wyman, ladies and gentlemen. Planning, building, and zoning. Mr. Prochaska.
For the approval of petition 19-02. It's a request from Brad Munkmeyer for the revocation of a special use permit for a private dog kennel granted by ordinance 1988-01 at 14005 Juliet Road, New Grove Township.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Kellogg. Discussion?
I have a question.
Mr. Purcell.
So this is wholly on his request?
Mr. Prochaska?
We had put up a notice that this was originally going to be a committee request to go through the revocation, but after we put the sign up on his property, he requested the change to get to him being a petitioner.
Okay, thank you.
Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Biggers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore? Nope, she's gone. Mr. Kreider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for an approval of a resolution approving an intergovernmental agreement for reciprocal building inspection services between Kendall County, Illinois, and the United City of Yorkville, Illinois.
Mr. Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Kellogg. Is this the same as years past?
It is largely the same. We have added new additional language at the request of our insurance brokers, and Yorkville has agreed to deal with the new language.
Any questions? Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussich?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Anything else? Facilities, Mr. Kellogg.
Yep. I'd like to call Jim Smiley, our Director of Facilities, up to give us a little update about the HVAC system at the Public Safety Center, and if there's anything the sheriff wants to chime in on the process and how it's going, feel free.
The project actively started work yesterday. We had people from representing the electricians and the mechanical people here. The sheriff's office required some training to be done first, so we held that in my office and then went over to the site. The mechanical is actually going to start on Wednesday. Electricians did start yesterday, and they're there again today. So we hit the ground running, and we've had good cooperation, you know, with everybody, and the sheriff's office has been efficient with getting, you know, the required things done there that we need to have done to work in that facility, and I think it's going really well so far. And right now, the projection is for it to be substantially complete by June, so it's going, you know, very, very quickly right now.
Early June, end June?
Early to mid-June, yeah.
Oh, it's all for the big heat gets here.
Right. And we do have some contingencies, you know, that we can do, possibly if for some reason we get, you know, unpredicted,
early,
you know, 3 weeks of 90-degree weather and we have to do something, you know, so.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, fans and ice blocks.
Yeah, we just wanted to give that update because it's a big, big project, and it's been going on for in the planning for years. So if anybody has any questions, Jim will be around afterwards. So.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim. Ms. Hendricks.
The next item is an approval of the health department request for structural alterations, but I need to make an amended motion to that to send it back to committee so that we can have a presentation by the professional installer to ensure that we have actually covered all the necessary items that will be required for the installation.
I'll second the referral back to facility.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Kellogg, to refer this back to committee for formal presentation by the installer. Is there any discussion on that, Mr. Kellogg?
It just came out of committee yesterday. Our meeting at the beginning of the month had been postponed by 2 weeks, so we just met yesterday. I personally, and I think the committee, feel it'd be prudent to have the health department follow the same procedures as other elected officials and department heads. This process has been confusing, to say the least. There was a work order put in to build the dental clinic, and it was a one-sentence order, and that's not really how the process works. I know they're coming out of their budget and they're paying for it, but there's a lot of examples, you know, from other departments elected that they may be paying for it, but we still need it in our capital plan, or we still need it to go through finance. So I think, at least personally, the feeling is that we're being kind of left out of this. I think it's a really good thing for the community. I think it would benefit our community, but you know, when people in the public ask me about it right now, I don't know anything about it. Nobody's presented anything to us. Nobody's discussed how the process will work for, you know, veterans or people that want to come in and have dental work. So we have questions on facilities about the structural and the location. Jim's put a lot of work together while he's trying to get the HVAC system up and going for the public safety center. He's also been trying to get the answers for this. We don't have the answers. We still had answers questions coming in yesterday. So if we can get it back to the committee, and if Dr. Tokars, I don't think she's here anymore, if they could come and do a presentation and we could work together on this and really present it as a joint effort, I think it'd be great for everybody. So that's
Ms. Hendricks.
And then I would agree. I think, and I want to be clear that the committee does feel very positive about this project, but we need to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And it came to light yesterday that we still didn't actually quite understand fully what was going to be required for the installation, for example, for the shielding from radiation. So our hope is that we're going to actually fully cover everything that's going to be required and come out of committee for the request for the structural approvals, knowing that we have completely covered what's going to be required. But I also wanted to mention, if we could have Mr. Keppel just check with and verify for us the insurance requirements as far as the county is required.
You read my mind.
The health department is going to, yeah,
it's a question
we need
I have
to know. I know the health department is going to carry their own policy, and I'm confident that they know how to properly do that because dental clinics are run in counties all over the country really frequently. But I just want us to also have dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's on that as well. So if we could have Mr. Keppel verify, at least from the county's perspective, what our liability is and what our current insurance ramifications are, that would be great.
Yeah, I appreciate that too. The I have concerns about that, you know, being on a county, in a county building. And Eric, with that, you know, if there is the insurance, obviously, by the health department, I mean, they will and can and will sue the county as a whole as well if there is an issue. Would that be a fair statement, I guess?
I would be fairly confident that they would sue both the health department and the county itself. Again, without knowing specifics, it's hard to say, but in general, yes, it's a fair assumption.
And, you know, if somebody is a, you know, a good Samaritan that is doing some dental work, and there is a negligence matter, does that open us up to more than what our insurance would cover potentially?
Than what your insurance would cover?
Yes. So could the county be in?
Good question. Then can you be sued?
Yes.
It would depend on the situation, but it could open you up to additional liability, yes.
Okay. Mr. Cullen?
With our facility schedule, we will be meeting again 2 weeks from yesterday because we backed this meeting up. We'd like to get it covered and out that, and then to a committee of the whole if the chairman wants to do that. I don't have guarantees, though, that we're going to get enough information from the health department to get it out of committee. We're going to try, but Jim's also doing the HVAC system, and we're looking at the animal control project, trying to get that so we can open the shelter again. So it's kind of the busiest time of the year for facilities getting projects started, so we're going to do what we can and try and get it done. I don't have any guarantees, so that's what I know on the timeline of what we can do.
And
Scott?
I'm sorry. I had inquired in the past about insurance, our insurance and a dental clinic, and this is from our old broker, but I can reach out to the new broker just to verify, but our liability coverage does cover dental clinics. Our insurance program, the ICRMT, does cover hygienists. However, the dentists must be, we should ask them to provide proof for their own professional liability insurance, malpractice, and that they need to make sure that that coverage does extend to when they're working as a volunteer.
Ms. Hendricks.
And I just want to say, yes, this and other details we need to come to a cow with so that everybody can be brought up to speed. And hopefully, because this is going to really benefit not just the citizens of the county, I personally think of veterans a lot who have no access to dental care through their benefits and stuff. So we're one of the few counties in the state that don't have a dental clinic of our size. So it's going to be a nice addition to the public health.
Any other
Roll call as to the motion to refer.
Mr. Purcell?
Sure, or yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
It's unanimous. It's nice.
We've had all except for one. Last meeting as well. Get a good working group here.
Yeah.
Highway.
Until
may
now.
Have a motion. Yeah, tell that highway. Where's Fran at?
Fran.
May have a motion to approve intergovernmental agreement between Kendall County and Fox Road District relating to the asphalt resurfacing of Rogers Road.
So moved.
Motion second. By Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska. This is one of those things that has kind of grown out of the Millington Bridge being closed. A little bit heavier traffic on Rogers Road, and so Fran, this is a 1-inch resurface, is that right?
Inch and a half.
Inch and a half. Mr. Prochaska.
Will this resurface happen after the Millington Bridge is open?
Yes, or? I think, well, no. Fran?
I wish I could say that, but no, Fran Kloss, County Engineer, this will happen almost certainly before the Millington Bridge is back open.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some other work down there, though, that we recently approved that will be after.
Yeah, Fox River Bridge joints.
Yes.
Yeah, is that what you're referring to? Yeah, that'll happen after, correct.
Okay. Mr. Purcell?
So our cost will be, was it $150,000? I'm trying to figure this out.
Approximately, yeah. I mean, we haven't bid the project yet,
but
so that's an estimate. Correct.
And when will we expect to get those bids?
The bid opening is March 29th, and so it will come back before the board at the April meeting, the regular third week April meeting.
Okay. And
third Tuesday.
This is out of transportation sales tax?
Correct.
Makes it easier.
Yes. Easier, quicker.
Yeah.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve resolution appropriating funds for the payment of the county engineer's salary for the period of 5/20/19 to 5/19 of 20 and the amount of $125.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Prochaska. Any discussion? Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Do we...
Ms. Hendricks.
Have to ask for a justification or description of what he'll do with his money?
Don't spend it all in one place.
Property taxes, which have gone up 36%.
The perfect answer. The perfect answer.
College tuition.
But not because of the county, I might add. Okay.
State.
Oh, yeah. Ms. Sessage.
Well, I was just saying to remember that, you know, the county's portion is actually less because
that's
the state
right.
matches that. So
that's right. Saying, yeah. That's right.
Is it 36% less? It's more than that. Roll call.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the engineering agreement with Hampton, Lenzini, and Renwick to perform engineering for replacement of bridge joints on the Fox River Drive Bridge over the Fox River for a not-to-exceed price of $10,000 to be taken from the county bridge fund.
So moved.
Motion by Hendricks.
Second.
Seconded by Sussage. Mr. Purcell.
Fran, didn't we last few years replace that deck?
Believe it or not, that deck was, there was a microsilica overlay put on in 2001. It's been almost 20
been
years.
That long?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But we did.
Didn't it just happen?
We did replace the bearings on that bridge, and that was not as long ago as that.
How
but,
long was that?
Probably not even 10 years ago.
I feel better.
Yeah. But we're trying to protect those bearings by replacing the joints on the top because they're leaking. We can't keep them from leaking, so we're going to completely replace those joints.
And this is just engineering.
This is the engineering to...
Would you expect the cost to be $100,000?
Probably. Yeah, might be less. Yeah.
Ms. Hendricks?
I just can't not ask this because I have to know. So I kind of have an idea now, but what are the joints?
That is on the very top surface of the bridge deck where the concrete meets the approach slab. So those joints, which allows expansion,
right.
they keep failing and letting the salty water leak down onto those new bearings that we replaced. So we want to make sure we get those watertight to protect the bearings so they last another 50 years.
Okay. Will you still be on?
I was thinking, you know,
sure.
Joints like this.
Like, what? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks, or Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Is that really what's called a roll call, Scott?
Perfect.
Wow.
Wow.
You've been here too long. Mr. Zimmerman, I want to thank you for hanging in through all of this, the show here today. You're next up now at long last. You may have a motion to approve the access variance related to zoning petition 19-08, Galena Road east of Kennedy Road, allowing full access on the north side of Galena Road for a single-family home.
So moved.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Purcell. Fran, do you want to add anything? Just, it's obvious. Maybe not, Mr. Purcell.
Is this where the Ultra Glide would take off and land? Is that that property? The Ultra Glide, what property is this?
It's in the package.
I heard there was something like that.
Is that the big empty field? Is that the big open field? So that tees right into.
Yeah.
I'll be damned. Okay.
Damn, it is in my package.
It is in
the
package. What do you know?
Yeah. It's a paper pile in front of
no,
me.
That's just
for the meeting.
It will be.
Taken out from there years ago.
And this is just for the one home, you know, to go in there. So, any other questions? Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yeah.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Mr. Gray?
Yes.
What
all eyes.
That?
Thank you.
Exasperation.
Motion's approved. And so what does he need to do from here? Anything, Scott or Fran? Just all set?
The zoning isn't approved yet, right?
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. You're welcome to stay if you'd like to see how this show ends. Finance. Yes, Mr. Cullen?
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion to approve supplemental claims in an amount not to exceed $515,094.81.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Hendricks. Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
He's exasperated.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Okay. For this next item, Member Purcell has indicated that he will abstain and then therefore under our board rules of order shall be treated as though he is not here.
I can make a motion to approve corner claims in an amount not to exceed $1,380.09.
Motion second. By Kellogg, seconded by Hendricks. Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you. Mr. Purcell is back for this next item. Do you want to take this over?
I don't know. What is it?
It's the approval of a resolution requesting the state's attorney execute an agreement from the city of Plato, Illinois, Lakewood Springs, Special Service Area 5, Delinquent Tax Parcel, LLC, for the settlement of delinquent real estate taxes, interest, and cost in the amount of $193,540.58 for 40 lots located within Lakewood Springs. Does someone want to make that motion?
So moved.
Motion by Purcell, seconded by Prochaska. Mr. Purcell, Mr. Kramer. Do either of you want to speak to this?
Eric, you'll just work on an agreement and bring it back to us? Is that really
what? No. This, you'll decide today, and then the agreement will be is attached to your packet. That's the agreement we intend to execute. That's what we forwarded to Mr. Kramer. He reviewed that with his client. My understanding from the email from Ms. Johnson is that they are in agreement with that proposal, so we would just simply go to court and enter an agreed order to do so. And I want to make sure, because there were some people that were not at the meeting on Thursday, because I will not enter this if you say no. They know that, and I don't need your approval, but I'm not going to do it without it.
Okay.
So you're gonna pay, they're gonna pay the taxes of $82,210, the penalty of $39,816. There's some cents in there too, but I skipped that part. The cost of $10,802. The SSA is being eliminated by the city of Plano, so that is not our concern, but that will reduce about $700,000, but is not for ours. And then the interest on that will go from 489,000 $314 to $60,711. So the total payment will be $193,540. They have till May, I think it was May 15th. I don't have the thing sitting right in front of me. I think that's the date to make that payment once we enter that agreed order. So I want to make sure that's clear. That's what we're going for. And once we do, then it's just, as long as they pay it, the rest will be wiped off. And it's for the 40 lots.
Ms. Hendricks.
I have no problem with this agreement for the time being, but there was some discussion of when the next 40 lots come up. And I would like to just make sure that we do not agree to any settlement for that next 40 lots, as it's liable to be so far in the future, it would effectively be tying the hands of the next board or of a future board.
It's for 40.
Any other? Ms. Sessage?
I guess I just, it's in there for 40 lots.
Any other comments?
Eric, thanks for turning this so quickly.
Yeah, that was fast.
As we talked about, Andy talked about how we're back, to where we were 10 years ago. This is another one of those items that is, kind of comes out of the boom bust, of Kendall County that we're kind of putting behind us at this point. So, with that, I'll have a roll call, please.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Vickers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special committee reports, Regional Office of Education. Scott?
Chris Mahochko submits a quarterly report to me, and then I send it along to Debbie to include in the packet. If you have any questions, I can relay those back to Chris, or if you'd like his attendance, I've read a meeting, just let me know, and I'll let him know.
Thank you. Vac, is there anything new to report?
Not that's been...
KenCom, Mr. Prochaska?
No report, Mr. Chairman.
UCCI, Mr. Prochaska?
Mr. Chairman, the United Counties Council will have a spring legislative conference on March 26th through 27th. All members from all county boards that are members and not members are more than welcome to attend. Some topics of conversation will be a presentation by the IDOT secretary on the possibilities of a capital bill, a presentation by the state archives on the Local Records Act and managing local records, and then county government and the Illinois Liquor Control Commissioner as to the duties of the chairman and county board as liquor commissioners.
Thank you.
And then also that the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs at 3:30 today will be having an opioid epidemic conference call on how to combat the opioid epidemic with Jim Carroll, of the director of the National Office of Drug Control Policy, and Kellyanne Conway. Anyone that is interested, just let me know and I'll supply the conference code and login information.
I received an email on that too today. Historic Preservation, Ms. Flowers is not here. Scott?
So the Historic Preservation Committee is reviewing their ordinance, and they've also reviewed an application for historic awards, which they hope to distribute in May. May is Historic Preservation Month.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Mr. Purcell.
Do you have any ideas what they are reviewing in the ordinance?
I do not.
Okay. Just be curious if they're reviewing anything regarding quorum.
I thought they already did that.
Yeah, it still doesn't seem to be working.
Other business. Chairman's report. Would ask for a motion to appoint Dan Roberts or reappoint Dan Roberts, Manuka Fire Protection District Trustee. 3-year term expiring April of 2022. It says Kendall County Rep because Manuka covers multiple counties. Dr. Joseph Gruber, Kendall County Board of Health, 3-year term, expiring April 2022.
So moved.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Prochaska. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Citizens to be heard? I'm sure there's no one. Questions from the press?
No questions.
Thank you. There is a need for executive session for the purpose of?
You can ask that question when I stood up.
Always the way.
Number two, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees and the representatives for deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. And 11, litigation when action against affecting on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and pending before a court or tribunal.
I have a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Motion by Sessage, seconded by Prochaska. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
He's stepped out.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you. We are now back in regular session. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So
motion by Prochaska, seconded by Hendricks. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. We are adjourned.
You're welcome.
Thank you.